a city tree census. This is the Environment Report. I'm Rebecca Williams. Grand Rapids, Adrian, and Ann Arbor are taking part in a tree study that could help other Michigan cities assess their own urban forests. Lindsay Smith reports the study will make a tree assessment more accurate and affordable for cities.
Grand Rapids spent tens of thousands of dollars to find more information about the city's trees. They came away with valuable information, like how much greenhouse gases and water runoff the trees absorb. But city-owned trees make up only a tiny portion of the overall urban forest in Grand Rapids. Tyler Stevenson is the city forester. He says they discovered more than half of Grand Rapids' trees are maples.
Is that true for the entire community? We don't know, and it'd be interesting information. And it also would help to increase the awareness of the public on how valuable the trees on their property are.
Federal officials will use the data from the study to enhance existing software. Other communities in Michigan will be able to use that software for free to calculate data about their own trees. For the Environment Report, I'm Lindsay Smith.
This is the Environment Report. Here in Michigan, we have the world's largest collection of dead fish. At least the world's largest collection that's based at a university. There are about 3.5 million fish in this collection. It belongs to the Museum of Zoology at the University of Michigan.
I'm Bill Fink, and I'm director of the Museum of Zoology and curator of fishes.
He's offered to take me on a guided tour. We take the elevator to the basement, where there's row after row of shelves full of glass jars full of fish.
These specimens are from Japan, and they were collected in the 1920s. We have specimens that are over 100 years old here, and they look fine.
Bill Fink says these fish have been collected from all over the world, sometimes at great risk to the scientists. He points out the box of jars from Vietnam.
They were collecting during the war, a Mekong River survey, and they were shot at and captured and escaped, and there were lots of adventures.
Bill Fink is not just the curator here. He also goes out in the field. He says some of the fish themselves are dangerous for the collectors.
We also have a huge collection of piranhas right here. I've been there when people have been bitten, but I personally have not been bitten. I'm really careful.
Fink shows me some amazing fish, like the tiny anglerfish with its appendage that glows in the dark at the bottom of the ocean. And there's a special sort of vault here.
This room contains what are called type specimens. When a new species is described, a single specimen is taken to be the name bearer, so there's never any question about what that name applies to.
So these fish are especially valuable. Bill Fink holds up a jar with a red label. It's a sucker from Arkansas collected in the 1890s. This species is now extinct, so Fink says he couldn't dissect the fish to study it. He took this very special fish to the University of Texas to use their CT scanner to study the fish's skeleton.
I hand-carried it with me to Texas, and that was the days before they stopped you and frisked you. So
I was going to say, that's more than 3 fluid ounces.
Yes, it is more than 3 fluid ounces. I would have probably been not allowed on the plane with it.
A number of these fish represent species that are now extinct. Fink says that makes the collection irreplaceable. And in fact, it's a lending library. Scientists around the world can literally check out the fish or their tissues and use them to ask questions about genetics, evolution, climate change.
The fact that we have these materials, we have them archived, we have them documented, means that we can go back and apply new technologies to ask new questions that we couldn't even have imagined when the specimens are being collected. It's really cool.
You can see some photos of the fish collection at environmentreport.org. I'm Rebecca Williams.